Brother Dave asked me on Sunday night. He said, "Can I bend your ear?" And I thought, "Oh man, he's gonna get serious here." He said, "Can you fill in Wednesday?" I said, "Sure." I love the opportunity to fill in. But I thought it was pretty. I was just actually telling Matt. I'll be honest with you. During basketball season, I'm much more equipped to give you a scouting report on Anderson County and tell you our effective field goal percentage from 2-point and 3-point than I am to most of the times to stand in a pulpit. I could talk about offensive sets and stuff, but I told them I did a Wednesday night, I think, probably right there at the end of basketball season last year, and I talked about being more willing to get stretched during basketball season. And basketball season's a busy time. I mean, it's a busy time for us. It's a busy time for everybody. I mean, holidays and just it just seems like winter months. You know, the days are so much shorter, and they seem busy. And everybody's rushing to try to get stuff figured out for holidays and family coming in. But I felt like for the previous really 7 years, I told the Lord, and I'd put that when ball season was over, I'd get back. You know, like give me the 4 months off for ball season, Lord, and I'll work for you the other 8 months. And you know, He really pressed on my heart really at the end of the season last year, in March and February, that. You know, that wasn't fair to him, and it wasn't, you know, and it wasn't really, even, it's not fair to me, you know, if it's what I'm supposed to be called to do. And I told Matt, I said, funny how God brings that stuff right back up to you. Here we are, we've not played 10 basketball games yet, and we're right in the middle of it, and Dave says, "Hey, can you fill in?" So, and I appreciate that, but I kind of was thinking about, you know, because we're still, you know, I still do a WANA every other week, and it's kind of, you know, Christmas is coming up, and today is actually Conley's birthday, or Conley turned 6 today, and we celebrated his birthday a few weeks ago, actually the Friday after Thanksgiving, so it doesn't kind of really feel like it's his birthday, because we've kind of already celebrated it with our family, and we had him one small gift today, and some people's run some stuff by to the house. He's actually homesick. Him and Aree are homesick, and Ashton's not feeling well. It's kind of, I guess, everybody else. But, you know, they've kind of got a little something going on, a little stomach bug or something. But me and Ashton been thinking and talking about, you know, Conley 6, and that seems like a real insignificant birthday, right? I mean, he's in kindergarten. You know, the first birthday's a big deal. Right, you know, they break it, they bust the cake, and you know, all that, and it's their first birthday party, and you know, for his first birthday party, I think somebody got him a Hot Wheels, like, truck. He was one. Couldn't drive it. But you know, you're so excited, you just get them all this really cool stuff, and then, you know, when they go from 1 to 2, their age doubles. I mean, that's the first time the only time their age doubles, and you know, they're twice as old as they were last year, and then, you know, like every year, you know, it's a big, but 6, you know, you're kind of on the end of like having like birthday parties that are kind of kid and you feel like you need to, you know, put a birthday party together for him. And, you know, even this year he's turning, you know, we kind of felt like he's kind of almost outgrowing it. He's not with his family, you know, he's not with us. He doesn't want to hang out with us. He had the birthday party and all of his friends came, and, you know, from T-ball and school and stuff. And so, I mean, it's just, you know, it seemed, kind of, you know, 6 is just, you know, like old hat almost. And then Ashton said, she's just, you know, she had a hard time with it, you know. And I called her one day last week, and I said, you know, Conley's 1/3 of the way to 18. And, ooh, man. And think about how fast these last 6 years have gone. And what it caused me to do was to start thinking about how blessed I am to get to be his daddy, and how thankful I am that the Lord allowed me to be his dad, that God chose me. And just like you, we all got kids, and we love our kids, and we think our kids are the best, and we should, rightfully so. But when God gave Conley to Ashton and Jordan, it was on purpose, right? Just like when he gave Jordan to Rosemary and Michael, it was on purpose. There's a reason for that. Just like when Jesus was given to Mary and Joseph, there was a reason that God chose Mary and Joseph. And tonight, that's what I'm going to talk about real quick. I believe it will be quick. I'm not even lying to you tonight. When I don't have much time to prepare, I write a lot more stuff down. But I want to talk about the man that God chose to raise his son. And think about us as earthly parents, and we're flesh, and we're sin, and we mess up, and you know, and in our best state, it's vanity. I mean, we mess up, you know, we're grass, but we love our kids. And if we knew that we couldn't raise our kid, you know, if I knew that something was going to happen next week and Ashton and I weren't going to be able to raise Conley and Aree, what kind of family would we want them to go to? What kind of mom and dad would we want to raise our kids? You know, when you think about that, what kind of man or a mother would I want in my son's life or in my daughter's life? It'd be somebody that's loving, right? Somebody that's patient, probably more patient than me. Conley needs a patient daddy, and he needs a patient mommy. And Aree, she's getting there. Man, she'd keep you on your toes. Somebody that loves them, right? Somebody that's God-fearing, that cares about the things of God, that cares about the Word of God, that cares about having them at a one on Wednesday night, that cares about Sunday school on Sunday mornings, that's forgiving. I would want somebody that was forgiving to raise my kids. If I couldn't do it, I would, because, you know, I would understand they're my kid and they're going to mess up because they're mine. But I would want somebody that was compassionate, that cared about things that they cared about, that was compassionate when things didn't go right or when they messed up, that had compassion. You think about Joseph, the man that God chose to raise his son, and he was all those things. And as Christians, we get real caught up in looking at Mary, and a lot of attention goes to Mary, and rightfully so, it should. She was blessed among all women. I mean, she was obviously, Mary was a great woman. And we get caught up in that, and sometimes we forget about Joseph, that there was somebody else, that God didn't just choose Mary. When he chose Mary, he chose Joseph. And he chose Joseph to raise his son. And there's a lot of false doctrine that surrounds Mary, and I think that's kind of what messes us up, right? We think about kind of how the Roman Catholics view Mary, and then that kind of puts us like, we almost go polar opposite of that, and we think, oh, you know, Mary's nothing. But, you know, Mary was in her rightful place. Mary was a just woman. She was a woman to be honored. She had our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She carried him, gave birth to him, and fed him, and raised him. That there's obviously some error that surrounds Mary, and a lot of different denominations and beliefs say they have some weird beliefs about Mary, and some that, you know, we would obviously not have. I would hope, and we would be against and deny and call error, that it would be, you know, we would call it what it is. It's error. Some in Africa, in South Africa, they'll say that Mary is actually a part of the Trinity, that the Trinity is not the three, the Godhead, the three in one, that it's actually four, that she's part of it. It's Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and then there's Mary. So it's not a triangle or a trinity, it's a cube or a square. Another one was that Mary was sinless her entire life. Well, we know that wasn't the case, right? Because Mary was born of flesh, right? Mary had a mother and a father, and she was born. She was born of man and woman and of man's seed. So therefore, we know that she was not sinless. She was a sinner. So we know she wasn't sinless her entire life. And then the Immaculate Conception, which is Roman Catholics believe, is that Mary was free of original sin once the seed, Jesus Christ, was placed inside of her. At conception, she became free of sin. Well, that, and then that perpetuated, like this perpetual virginity of Mary. We know that's also, we know that's not true. Based on the word of God, Jesus had at least six brothers and sisters. So Joseph and Mary, that, you know, Joseph was not the father of Jesus, but Joseph was the father of Jesus' brothers or stepbrothers, right? There were other children born. So we know that, you know, there are some error, and we can easily fall on the other side of that and that say, you know, that Mary had no virtue or she has no reason to be honored at all, but Mary is blessed among all women. She was chosen to carry our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a big deal. But we must put her in her proper place. So yeah, we have to put her in her proper place. And then we can't forget about Joseph. I mean, how important was Joseph in this whole exchange? I mean, think about how quick Joseph could have ended this thing. I mean, Joseph could have stopped it. But God knew exactly who he chose when he chose Joseph. There's a guy, and I got 3 points. We'll start in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. We'll read a few verses, and then I got three points, and I'm not going to promise, but I think we'll get out of here early. I really do. All right. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things," I want you to think about this. It says that Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He thought that on his own. Right? He didn't want to make an example on his own. Right? That was his decision. He was going to make that decision on his own. Then we get an angel of the Lord that comes in. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream." Joseph's initial reaction was compassion, forgiveness. That was his first reaction. And could you imagine how crushed this man was? Couldn't imagine. But his first reaction was compassion, forgiveness, soft, tenderness, not to make her an example. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son." And this is important right here. "And he called his name Jesus." So Joseph, he's in a bad situation. I couldn't imagine. This espousal period. It was a Jewish custom, and they weren't married yet officially, but they were as good as married, right? This was the time they'd been set aside, and they were to still honor each other and honor their parents, and they were married, but they weren't. They didn't live together. They didn't sleep in the same house or in the same bed. But the dilemma that he's in is that this woman that he is to marry, before they ever have the ceremony, before they ever have a honeymoon, comes up pregnant. That's a dilemma, right? I mean, that's a problem. That's something that they make HBO shows about. He had a dilemma, but the way Joseph handled himself, it honestly says a lot about who he is and says a lot about his character. When he's right in the middle of the fire, right in the furnace, man, just like us, right? It's easy when things are going. There's a quote that, you know, smooth seas never made a skilled sailor. right? And you know, if your faith that's never been tested is a faith that can't be trusted, right? I mean, yes, it's easy when things are going good and it's, you know, it's 75 and sunny outside, but it's when the wind starts to blow and it begins dark and it's hard. That's when we really find out where our anchor holds and who we count on and who we lean on in times of trouble. And just like the Joseph's characters revealed, our characters revealed the same exact way. And the way Joseph handled this, it says a lot about who he is as a man and then who he is going to be as a father. And you can find out really quick why God chose this man. Why God chose this man, Joseph, to be the father of his son. An unexpected development. Obviously, it was unexpected. Pregnancy before marriage. It's not his. He knows it's not his. It's definitely unexpected. It's a serious offense. Betrothal was it was considered binding. Right, they were betrothed to one another. I would similar to an engagement. You know, you put an engagement ring on a lady, on your girlfriend, and you know you two are in a lot of are betrothed to each other. You're not married yet, but there's still some commitment there, and there's still a wait and see. Right, we're going to try to honor each other. We're going to try to do right. There's plans for a wedding down the road. They said. Some things I read said that this betrothal period could be anywhere up to 9 months, right? So, I mean, it could be, you know, it's like right now. There's some engagements. Mine and Ashton's engagement was almost 10 months. But then you'll see people that the engagements that last a very, very short time, and they go when they get married, and, you know, and it's nothing wrong with either of those. But that engagement, that betrothal period, it's binding, and you know, you're committed to that one, and that one's committed to you, and you're still supposed to honor God in that relationship until your ceremonial the wedding has been completed. And how we respond in crisis reveals our true nature, and it reveals our character. And Joseph, in this whole situation, we find out extremely early, even before the angel of the Lord comes and talks to him and wakes him in a dream, that Joseph was under control. He didn't fly off unhinged. He didn't fly off a rail. He didn't respond the way that Jordan Jeffers would respond. He didn't get offended and say, "Woe is me." Immediately, when he found out, he thought about Mary. He wasn't worried about himself. He was worried about Mary and not embarrassing Mary or making it rougher on Mary, or we'll find out in a second, even could have had Mary put to death, right? It's exactly what he could have done. An unexpected development leads to uncharacteristic deliberation. Most would have left. Most would have been done with Mary. I'm done. I'm out. Right? We're betrothed to one another, but we're not officially married yet. We can just part ways. How would that have worked for Mary, though? How would that have worked for Mary? Single mom with a baby by herself. How many men are going to go and jump in on that to help raise that baby? Not many, right? Joseph knew exactly what it would do to Mary for him to leave her. Make it hard. Make it hard on that mommy. Make it hard on that little boy. Mary would have been left poor. She'd have been left lonely with a newborn. Joseph knew that. Joseph was a just man. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. Righteous, what does that mean? It means he wanted to do right. He wanted to do right. He didn't only want to do right by Mary. He wanted to do right by God. And that's what he done. Jesus and Joseph were both marked. You see, and even in Jesus' ministry, Jesus is marked by his compassion. His compassion that he has on others that are struggling. That he has on sinners. He had compassion on sinners. He didn't come to heal the healthy. He came to heal the sick. That's who he came for, and he had compassion on them. In John 8, we have the story of Jesus and a woman caught in adultery. And I'm going to read through it. I just want you to, you know, when you think about this, I don't want you to think about a woman caught into adultery. I want you to think about how Jesus handles this woman. And then think about how Jesus' stepfather, his earthly father, handled his mommy. All right? It says in John chapter 8, it says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early, am I reading right? Yeah. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they heard it, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. About compassion right here that Jesus has. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus, his heavenly Father, he's all powerful, and he was fully God. But he was also raised by a man. And no doubt, some of Joseph had to have rubbed off on Jesus, right? I mean, just in how he acted and his mannerisms and obviously his sinless state. I mean, you know, Joseph, he didn't get that from Joseph, But he spent time around Joseph. He was around him on a daily basis, right, for a long time, right? Whatever it was, 13 years or whatever it was, however long he was in Joseph's house. And Jesus can be marked. He's marked by the same compassion that Joseph had when his wife, his betrothed wife, to the world was caught in the very same act that this woman in John 8 was caught in. She wasn't caught in the act, but she was accused of adultery. Right? That would have been one of the great arguments at her. How hard would that? Could you imagine trying to convince somebody this? I mean, we sit down and just think about it. I mean, could you imagine trying to convince somebody of this? Joseph, I mean, he had to be okay with a lot of things. I mean, just running this even through your mind, I mean, it had to be of God. I mean, for it to even play out the way it plays out, I mean, it had to be of God. But as a man, flesh, I mean, trying to explain to your buddies that, my we're having a baby. It's not mine. It's the Holy Ghost. And that's hard. And the compassion which Joseph handled that's to be commended. I wish I could handle things with that compassion. I wish I could handle things with that soft touch. I wish that I wasn't so abrasive with things. I wish I could be a little bit more like Joseph when it comes to stuff like that. And I'm not even talking about bad stuff. I mean, you know, this is hard. I mean, this is a hard thing. Adultery, your wife having a child that's not yours. I mean, that's a hard thing. I'm talking about simple stuff. I want to be more compassionate than just daily conversation and how I handle daily things. And you're talking about Joseph handling something that's life-changing, life-altering, and ultimately eternity-altering for us. And he handled it with such compassion. Is uncharacteristic deliberation, because the way that Joseph handled it goes against our very nature. It goes against who we are as humans. As sinful flesh, it goes against who we are. Because what do we want? We want retribution. We want payback. We want somebody to suffer. We want them to pay. We want them to get theirs. We want Mary to have to live with her mistake. That ain't how Joseph handled it. He handled it with compassion against who we are at our very core. Second, the next thing, it was an uncommon decision. Joseph did right. By right, he could have invoked the death penalty on Mary. But he didn't. He did right. He did right by her. Deuteronomy 22, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Deuteronomy 22 in the law, it talks about, basically this very similar something very similar, it's a very similar situation. In Deuteronomy 22:13, if I can find it, Deuteronomy 22:13, it says, any man take a wife and go in her and hate her and give occasion of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her and I found her not a maid, then shall the father of the damsel and her mother, I will read the whole thing, and take her, take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the virgin, or unto the elders of the city in the gate, and the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city, and the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him. They shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife, and he may not put her away all his days. But if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones, that she die. That she die. Because she hath wrought folly in Israel. Joseph, by right, he could have had Mary, his betrothed wife, stoned and killed. But he didn't. He chose to spare her life. And he chose to spare her life, and he also chose to spare her shame. Put her away privately. Put her away. Not to make her a public display for people to mock and to laugh at and to point at and make fun of. He was compassionate man. First was his dilemma. Second thing is his dream. And verses 20 through 23, it talks of a dream that he had. An angel comes and tells him what's going on. And this is of the Holy Ghost. And imagine that. That was a hard thing to hear and a hard thing to understand. But as we talked earlier, Joseph from the onset handled it with compassion in a way that he was wanting to look out for Mary and take care of. He loved Mary. And he wanted to take care of Mary, and he wanted to do right by her. He wanted to treat her right and not make her a display or have her made fun of or be mocked. And then you'd imagine that's his initial, reaction. And then this angel comes in, and I would imagine reaffirms it for him. His dream, the truth of the pregnancy is revealed. Joseph discovers that who the real father is. Because, think about Joseph, the questions he would have had. Right? A million questions, trying to figure it out. And this angel, he comes in and he tells him that Joseph, this is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph begins to realize how his wife is pregnant, and he realizes that immediately that he's part of a glorious plan. He's part of our plan of salvation. We can thank Joseph, Jesus, for Jesus Christ being able to be born and live and be raised and. Jesus was God, but, he also submitted himself to living in a womb for 9 months. Think about that. Think about the God of creation. The God of creation. going to the womb of a woman, to be born of woman, to have to have his diapers changed. I'm sure they didn't wear diapers, maybe cloth diapers, I guess. Man, I don't know, man. If you just do cloth diapers, you're tougher than us. I'm just telling you. I mean, but just, you know, that thing, being fed, and we're not talking, I mean, you know, we're not talking about us. We're talking about Jesus Christ, who spoke this thing into existence. The Son of God submitted himself to that. I mean, how much does he love us to come and be willing to do that for us? He died on the cross, and you know, the cross, you know, the Easter finishes what Christmas begins. You know, we don't ever get to the cross if Christmas doesn't happen. If the birth, if the virgin birth never happens, we never make it to the cross. Right? The virgin birth is what makes the cross relevant. Right? That's what seals the deal. You know, is that that God accepted him at the cross. He accepted him, and he raised again because he was acceptable. He would have not been able, he wouldn't have been acceptable if the virgin birth didn't happen. Right? I mean, that's the virgin birth is a cornerstone in our salvation in what we believe. He realized he's part of a glorious plan. Second, child's title is revealed, that he is, Joseph is commanded to name the child Jesus. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. And then Joseph's task is revealed. Joseph wasn't just, he was signing up for a life that would be filled with shame, that would be placed upon him by others, right? Because he would allow his wife to do this, conceive of the Holy Ghost, which we believe is true, and that's what happened. But I wonder how many of Joseph's buddies believe that. I mean, let's be real. I mean, you know what I mean? Most of us are adults in here. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Joseph's, you know, he's out at work, and you know, you can only hide that thing for so long. That belly's going to be sticking out there. It is what it is. And, you know, people's going to start recognizing that a baby's on the way. Josephian's having a baby? Yeah, it ain't mine. Oh, it's the Holy Ghost. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, the shame that man would go through, not just for a little while, but for the rest of his life, and then to take and to be with Mary and have more children with Mary. What he was signing up for was a life that would be of shame placed on him by others. And he had to know that, right? He had to know that. There's a lot of traditions that surround the birth of Jesus Christ, that a lot of different, ideas on how, you know, obviously, you know, the world, there's no possible way he was a virgin born. That's just, you know, the world's idea and mindset on it. But you know, one is that he was Joseph's son, that they were betrothed, but they had not stayed away from one another, and that Mary had a secret lover, right? That's, you know, okay. Another one is that there was a Roman soldier, and this one I didn't realize this is fairly prevalent, that there was a Roman soldier that raped Mary, and they try to explain it away that way. But, you know, based upon authority of the Word of God, I believe he was virgin born, and he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. I believe that. Joseph was willing to bear his cross for the glory of God. And I'd imagine that was a heavy cross to bear. But he was willing to bear it for the glory of God. Sometimes it makes some of these crosses that I carry, or that I'm asked to carry, which are, you know, in comparison, toothpicks, nothing to what he had to, what he had to carry. Got his dilemma, his dream, and last thing is his decision. He obeyed the Lord's commands. Obedience reveals our heart. Obedience to God is better than sacrifice. John 14:15 says this. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God wants us obedient. Joseph was willing to be obedient. When we obey the Lord's command, it shows where our true loyalty is. It shows that that even when he asks us, sometimes God asks us to be obedient in things that are difficult. Sometimes he asks us to be obedient in things that are hard, that are tough. And that just simply reveals our loyalty to him. Because if we only obey in easy things that are easy to do, you know, coming to church on a Sunday morning and Scott County, Tennessee, in the United States of America, on paved roads is, you know, that's not that hard, right? That's not that hard. Wednesday night, sometimes after a hard day's work, you know, that's a little harder maybe. And knocking on doors out in the pub, out, you know, in a neighborhood, and getting face to face with lost people and trying to convince them that to be saved and their need of a Savior. You know, sometimes those things are hard. And he asks us to do them. You know, he asks some people. We have somebody in here almost every Sunday night. You know, he asks couples and men and families to uproot their entire lives and go to Brazil or go to Africa or go to Sri Lanka. And if we're only obedient in things that are easy, how loyal are we to him? Right? Where does our loyalty lie? Doesn't mean we're lost. Doesn't mean we're not saved. It doesn't mean that. But how loyal are we to him? And Joseph was loyal to him even in hard things. And this was a hard thing. He obeyed the Lord's commands. The second thing, he observed Mary's chastity. He honored Mary, his wife. He could have demanded that they be together, but he didn't. He could have demanded that they be together physically, but he didn't. He honored her. He shows his moral standard. He shows his moral standing, where he was morally. He was a good man. He wanted to do right by his wife. He wanted to do right by God. And in so doing, he done right by his wife, his future wife. Joseph wasn't answering to his buddies. You could imagine, you know, what his buddies would be saying at work or in town or whatever. He wasn't answering to man. He wasn't answering to the crowd. He was answering to God. And ultimately, that's who we all answer to. We don't answer to man. We don't answer to our friends or our parents, right? When it comes to things eternal, we answer to God. When it comes to obeying God, we answer to him. I'm to obey God and not man. Right? That's what the Bible says. And that's what Joseph did. He honored his wife and he obeyed God. And much like Joseph in the Old Testament, Joseph in the Old Testament was real similar. The story in Genesis with Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Joseph is in a position where he could have done wrong. Right? But he didn't. He did right. And he was in a position where Potiphar's wife put him put a lot of pressure on him, and instead of giving in, Joseph didn't give in. He actually ran away. He ran away from it. It's a pretty good idea. We get in the middle of something bad, get in the middle of some sin, and run away with it. Run away. It says, verse 9, it says, in Genesis 39:9, it says, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. It's talking about Joseph is talking about Potiphar and his home, and he was over everything. He was second in command in that home. The only thing that Potiphar kept from him was his wife. because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness? I want you to listen to what it says, though. It doesn't. Potiphar was over his house, right? Potiphar was over Joseph in that home. That was his boss. That was his master in that home. That's not who Joseph answered to. It says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar? Is that what it says? That's not what it says. It says sin against God. Right? It wasn't sinning against Potiphar. It was sinning against God. Just like Joseph, the way he handled Mary, he wasn't honoring Mary for the sake of Mary. He was honoring God. And in so doing, by honoring God, he honored Mary. He honored his wife. He observed Mary's chastity. And lastly, we talked about this earlier, he obediently named the child. Right here's how this right here seals the deal for me, that this child, that this seed, that it was of the Holy Ghost and it wasn't of man. And that it wasn't of Joseph and it wasn't from anyone else. It wasn't from a Roman soldier or Mary's affair or another lover she had or anything like that. That this was of the Holy Ghost because Joseph named him Jesus. If that had been Joseph's boy, what would Joseph have named him? Something he wanted to name him, right? If Joseph didn't believe that this baby was conceived of the Holy Ghost, Joseph would have pounded his chest and said, that's my son. I'm going to name him what I want. What he would have done. But he didn't. Joseph did exactly what the angel told him to do, exactly what the Lord told him to do. He named him Jesus. And for me, that right there seals the deal that Joseph knew exactly what was going on. He knew exactly whose son that was. He knew that wasn't his son. If that had been his son, he'd have named it something, whatever would have been his family name. You know, Conley is Lee, which is, my grandparent. I've got a grandma, her name is Lee. And, A. Reed comes from, one of Ashton's aunts. And Ike comes from a grandpa. And then A. Reed's first name is Jory. Jory, J-O-R-I. We don't ever call her that. But that's after me, Jordan. And you don't think Joseph would have wanted that, right? He would have, but he didn't. He named that boy Jesus because he knew exactly whose son he was. He knew he wasn't a father. He knew nobody else was either. He knew he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And for me, right there, the right of naming the child was in the hand of Joseph. And he named it exactly what God wanted it named, Jesus. He knew exactly whose boy that was. He knew it wasn't his. He knew exactly what God asked him to do. Joseph was a kind, compassionate man with a pure heart. And he was loving and forgiving. He was a good man. We could all take a lesson I guess this is maybe a lesson for men, but not really. I mean, we're all trying to do right by our kids, and we can do right by our kids by doing right by God. That's how that works. If this right here is right, this right here is right. When this right here gets messed up, this right here gets messed up. My relationship with God's right, my relationship with men's right. My relationship with God's messed up, my relationship with man's messed up. When my relationship with God's messed up, my relationship with my wife's messed up. It's just that's how it works. But he was a good man. He's also a man that God could use. And I think that's what we all want to be, whether man or woman, boy or girl, old or young, we want to be somebody that God can use. And God looked down. He could have picked, you think of Mary wasn't the only virtuous woman that he could have picked. There was other women. There were other men, I'm sure, right? But he looked down and he chose Joseph. And he chose Mary. When he chose Mary, he chose Joseph. When he chose Joseph, he chose Mary. You know what? I want him to be able to look down at me and say, I can use old Jordan. I can use him. I can use mine. I want him to look down. Look, I want him to look down and say, "I can use it. I can use that one." Because that's what Joseph was. He was somebody that God could use. God will never call. He'll never call a man again to do what Joseph did. Right? That's over. That's done with. Jesus Christ has already. He's came the first time. When he comes again, he won't come as a babe. He'll come as conquering king, and get out of his way. And you better hope that you're coming with him, that you're not in front of him, but you're behind him. All right? Amen. But there's plenty of big jobs still left to do. There's plenty of big jobs. There's little jobs. There's medium-sized jobs. There's a lot of jobs. There's a lot of unemployment opportunities with the Lord, right? There's a lot of help wanted signs when it comes to the working for the Lord. All right? I want to be a man just like Joseph. I want to be a man that can be used by God. I want to be compassionate. I want to be loving. I want to be forgiving. I want to be somebody that he can use. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand tonight. I thank you, God, for this church and our pastor. I pray that you be with him and everyone over at Awana. God, I'm thankful for everyone that's here tonight. And God, I'm just this church and its faithfulness. Lord, to serve you and to try to do right, and Lord, to work with our young people, and Lord, to have services and classes available for all ages. God, our willingness to have missionaries in, and, Lord, allow our pastor to be who he is and serve, and while also, you know, allowing us to have the opportunity to be in the pulpit. Lord, I'm thankful for that. That's a blessing. And, Lord, I pray I wouldn't take it for granted, that we wouldn't take it for granted, Lord, how blessed we are here at this church. God, I pray that you would to be with everyone here. As we depart for the rest of the week, you give us a safe week. Bring us back here safely on Sunday morning. And, God, I pray that you'd bless this church and this congregation as we enter the Christmas season and holiday season. Lord, I pray for all those that have lost loved ones. What a hard time to lose a loved one. And to go through and the empty chairs and just how hard it must be. God, I pray that you be with you, comfort them, be with them, give them strength. God, and I pray that throughout this holiday season, God, that we'd honor you, Lord, in how we operate and everything that we do, and that we would always remember, God, that you're the reason. You're the reason that we're celebrating. God, we're thankful that you came. God, we're thankful that you lived a sinless life. Lord, I'm thankful that you died on a cross. Thankful that you rose again. God, I'm so thankful that you're coming again. I'm thankful for that. I look forward to it. God, I pray that you be with us. Be with us as we leave tonight. Bring us back on Sunday morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.